And welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Dawson Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Ted Brower. Sheila Zielinski is going to be my guest today. You may think that I sound a little bit nasal, and you are right. This past Saturday, this is going to be crazy. I didn't bother telling you guys this because I didn't know I was going to be blowback from it as far as my throat. I ended up working on the motor coach when I was bringing it back home from Florida, and I was cutting some duct tape and filleted my left-hand ring finger all the way to the bone. And then wrapping it up and, you know, getting it to stop bleeding. And then we flew home because I didn't have time to catch the flight and get the finger stitched. And I packed it in a nuke of honey. This is going to sound weird. And I got down to Florida and I went to the emergency clinic in our town to have stitches put in it, you know, 5 or 6 hours later. And when I got to the emergency clinic, I went in and there was all kinds of people hacking and about to die. And, I thought, wow, this is a sick place. And I went ahead and took the bandaging off my doggone finger and it completely sealed itself. Looks like it wasn't even cut. It was the weirdest thing you've ever seen. And so I told them, I said, I don't need to see you guys. I can keep this thing together myself now. I've kept it packed in Manuka honey since Saturday. It's doing absolutely great. It's almost completely healed. It's not even sore anymore. And so that's kind of a miracle story. But apparently I got exposed to something inside that doggone clinic. Touched the wrong doorknob, touched the wrong door handle, used the wrong whatever. And I washed my hands and I even swabbed my nose out when I left out there. And I tell you what, guys, I woke up this morning after a couple of days of incubation and my throat was pretty doggone bad. And Austin's not here. Austin's basically in Vegas right now at a convention with his wife. They're taking a much needed vacation after 5 years of marriage. They really haven't gone anywhere together like that since their kids were born almost immediately after they were married. They got pregnant. And so I called Sheila, my dear friend, up and asked her if she could be on with me today. She said, of course, because I love Sheila. She's a great guest. And tomorrow I have J.B. Wells coming on. J.B. Wells from Caravan to Midnight. They're having a big convention in Dallas supporting a general, and they're basically going to be doing that and talking about that tomorrow. I've been on J.B. Wells' show many times, and he's a great guy. So he'll be on tomorrow. And then on Friday, I've got a really, really neat guest on coming on Friday, too, Pastor Mark Rutland from Global Service. I've told you about Mark for years. And people are always asking me, you know, if there are nonprofit ministries out there support, what are they? One of them would be Sheila Zielinski. She's phenomenal. And the other one is Mark Rutland because he deals with helping children in Thailand not to get sent into the sex slave business. He's one of the finest platform speakers. Preachers I've ever heard. In fact, you guys know that I was on the platform with President Bush and Barbara Bush and Colin Powell and General Schwarzkopf and Zig Ziglar and all those guys for many, many years. And Mark Rutland, to me, would be in one of the top 10 platform speakers in the world. He's that good. And he'll be a guest on Friday, so you guys are going to really enjoy him. I'll have him tell you the story about how a German who basically was living in Thailand brought him an 8-year-old girl to his room, didn't know that Mark was a Christian, to basically have sex with her and claim that she was a virgin. And Mark told him that he was going to call the police on him for doing this. And then the guy told Mark that basically the police are on his payroll. So that'll be the story on Friday. We're going to talk about sex trafficking globally for a man who works in it and helps kids to get out of it. Sheila, are you on with me yet? Oh, that's great. Sheila's not on with us yet. Let me go ahead and start on this because there's some stories I can go over real quick. Sheila's having some issues with her Skype. We'll try to get her on here just in a second. By the way, according to Need to Know You News, Donald Trump is now planning on putting together a executive order which will end birthright citizenship that will basically do, it's going to trigger a Supreme Court challenge is what it's going to do. President Trump is planning to sign an executive order to end birthright citizenship for babies of non-citizens and unauthorized immigrants born in the U.S. soil. He said, we are the only country in the world where a person comes in and has a baby and the baby becomes essentially a citizen of the United States with all of the benefits. It's ridiculous, and it has to end. Any attempt to remove birthright citizenship will undoubtedly set off a constitutional challenge. Adding weight to Trump's argument, birthright citizenship wasn't applied to children of the immigrants until the 1960s. Former U.S. Attorney Andrew McCarthy said that the controversy stems from the key phrase in the 14th Amendment, subject to jurisdiction, meaning is a person who is born in the U.S. subject to the jurisdiction of the United States at the time of their birth. When the 14th Amendment was ratified, it was understood to mean owing allegiance to the U.S. rather than other country. Congress enacted a statute that codified the 14th Amendment, and the U.S. has been proceeding for decades on this interpretation of allowing people who come into this country pregnant to have a baby, and then through the anchor baby status, allowed to stay with their baby because they have a relative that's basically a firstborn child or secondborn child here in the United States. Senator Lindsey Graham announced that he will introduce a law in the Senate to end birthright citizenship through Congress. I have no idea why Senator Lindsey Graham is suddenly Trump's buddy, that doesn't make any sense to me either. But guys, this is something that needs to end. This is a major, major problem, and this is what's happened now, because we've given the folks coming in from the South America and Central America or any other place in the world a right to basically come to this country, have as many babies as they want. They're all American citizens, and they're able to receive the full support from the American government if that was the intent to come here to start with and misuse and abuse our system. And guys, this is something that has to stop, and unless it stops, we're not going to be able to get this country back on its feet again. Simply hundreds of billions of dollars a year that we're basically having to spend right now on supporting illegal immigration and the immigrants who come into the country. By the way, Brazil, the far-right candidate, Jair Bolsonaro, he won the presidential election by a wide margin. He's the Donald Trump of Brazil. And they've basically, people all over the world are looking for Donald Trump candidates because they've had enough. Jair Bolsonaro, he's 63 years old, my age, Brazil's new president-elect, who was stabbed and seriously injured during his campaign, and is a former army captain who won the election by promising to reform corruption after more than a decade of left-wing socialist policies. Bolsonaro promised to crack down on crime as Brazil reports 60,000 gun deaths each year. He proposes fighting against crime by expanding the military's presence on the streets, increasing prison sentences, and giving the police more autonomy to open fire on suspected criminals. A little iffy on that one, guys. Suspected criminals opening fire? Okay, whatever. A lot of people maybe get shot who don't deserve to be shot. In addition, he proposes arming responsible citizens. Bolsonaro has also promised to prosecute dozens of corrupt politicians involved in a scandal that saw billions of pounds stolen from the public budget. Bolsonaro is an evangelical Christian and a staunch Zionist. There you go. And he has confirmed he will join the United States in moving Brazil's embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. So there you have a little bit of the Rothschild flair in all of this stuff, the same thing that we're doing here in the United States. Sheila, are you with me yet? Todd, has Sheila come on yet? Can you hook her up through her cell phone? Let's do it the first way she had it hooked up. Is that possible or not? Oh, by the way, you guys are behind the scenes with me now. The Swedish Central Bank is making a U-turn on cash, and it's getting rid of negative interest rate policies, ending. The Swedish government and its central bank, Riksbank, have been pushing for a cashless society for years, and many of the Sweden's branches have stopped handling cash altogether. Huge mistake for the people. However, Sweden's central bankers now want to reverse their policy and have proposed making it mandatory for all banks and financial institutions to offer cash services so that it does not disappear as a form of payment. Financial companies and businesses that have converted out of cash may also be obligated to trade in cash. A negative interest rate policy requires depositors to pay to store their money in the banks, and is intended to incentivize banks to lend more money freely and businesses and individuals to invest, lend, and spend money. The NIRP has trouble surviving when cash is an alternative. In addition, the Riksbank has also called for the development of state-backed digital currency, the e-krona, kind of like we did with with what happened a few years ago in this country with our e-currency that kind of flopped, in order to maintain and control the nation's currency. No, it's not control the nation's currency. It's control the M1 money supply. They don't have to worry about how many dollars are printed in cash. As bankers fear the general public could move entirely to private payment solutions, the e-corona will have a prepaid value that can be stored on a card or a mobile phone, and the Riksbank has plans to implement this in 2021. So it's going to be crazy. By the way, Israel is quietly transferring, you're going to get like this one, $250 million of sophisticated spy systems to its secret ally, Saudi Arabia. Remember, Israel and Saudi were all there through the Balfour Declaration, and they've been allies ever since. Saudi Arabia and Israel reportedly negotiated in secret meetings held in Washington, D.C. and London, which led to a $250 million deal, including the transfer of Israeli espionage technologies to the kingdom. The sale, which was confirmed by the Jerusalem Post, was unprecedented, as the two nations still don't have official diplomatic relations, but continue a closed, behind-the-scenes alliance based on intelligence sharing, especially in places like Syria or even Yemen, in order to counter Iran. The timing of the alleged transfer is disturbing, given that the news of it comes just as the Saudis have been exposed as spying on and murdering journalists, activists, and dissidents, even as they reside in foreign countries. So think through what I'm talking about here in the Middle East. Think through this for a second. The Jews absolutely hate the Muslims. The Muslims absolutely hate the Jews. Been going on for thousands of years, ever since we had the Old Testament with Abraham and with Ishmael and with Hagar. And now all of a sudden we're having these two work together. Why? You have to look at the common denominator with that, and that's going to be the Rothschild banking system and who in the world they are and who they really support. In other news, the LifeSite, a pro-Christian news outlet, says it was blacklisted by its web host. This is happening all the time. This is an anti-abortion campaign, Life Coalition, in 1997, was threatened with being blacklisted by its web host and was given 12 hours to find a new host. LifeSite is the latest conservative website to be threatened with deplatforming from the Internet in a wave of Internet conservative censorship. Sheila, are you with me? Sheila, are you with me? Todd, I still don't have Sheila. This should have been a lot smoother than this. I was having a hard time getting hooked up with Sheila's Skype. By the way, free speech is under threat as the SPLC and its cohorts politicize the pipe bomb case and the synagogue shooting. We talked about this yesterday. Last week, the Southern Law Poverty Law Center and the Center for American Progress, founded by John Podesta and, of course, financed by George Soros, along with four other organizations, have drafted a guide for tech giants Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube to police speech on the Internet. The policy seeks to deputize intermediaries, including social media platforms, payment processors, domain name registrars, and the chat services to shut down so-called hate speech. In the past, users weaponized the power to flag other users, and it's likely to happen again. Following the phony pipe bomb case and the Tree of Life synagogue shooting, political groups blamed Trump and his supporters for crimes they did not commit. The left commits moral blackmail to enact their agenda and are coming after free speech. Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube can instantly terminate any speech they disagree with in an electronic reign of terror as they refuse to define what permissible speech is. The tech giants apply censorship asymmetrically and target those who disagree with the left. We saw this with AdRolls, one of the Google processing things that basically helps us stay in touch with our customers. They told us that we were basically not living by their guidelines, and we weren't even doing anything. But what they did, they probably ran some type of internet search on me and found that we were basically not real pro, how should I say this, people that are nuts. And so what ended up happening is they decided to censor us. And so we have that problem going on at our end, too, and we've seen it at HealthMasters. That's why I want to thank all of you guys all the time for your support of Health Masters, in fact, that you get your vitamins and your supplements from us, and you continue to pray for us on a regular basis. I got to pray for you guys again today. Thank you for the opportunity. I simply ask right now that you pray for me for this show right now, because I was bringing Sheila on, and I hope I can get her on because of my voice. I simply don't want to move to do a whole show for 1 hour by myself. By the way, right now we have four caravans are on the move, rioting at the Mexican border on their way to invading the United States. Guys, this is a complete and total psyop that's being done to the American population to force Trump to do military action against the southern border right before the midterm elections. And this is a major, major problem. There are now four caravans pushing towards the U.S. border with tens of thousands of people through Central America and Mexico, with many trade people traveling by luxury bus. We discussed that yesterday. On Sunday, hundreds of angry migrants from Central America hurled rocks at the Mexican border and argued with the guards for hours until they broke through the customs gate at the Guatemala border town of Tacun, while Mexican police used tear gas and rubber bullets against them. That, guys, this turned into a major conflict. The caravans were about 80% fighting men. Migrant Henry Diaz, 26, was killed by Mexican forces on Sunday as he was trying to force his way across the border. More than 100 people were wounded, but they got across anyhow. Most migrants and refugees fleeing north cite unemployment or violence or both as their primary reason for leaving Honduras. The country has one of the 10 highest per capita homicide rates in the world, with more than two-thirds of its inhabitants living in poverty. I know a lot of people who have come in from Honduras, and they quickly adapt to the American system and to American capitalism. And many of them do really good work. Many of them do not. Some of them simply want to live off the system. Todd, do we have Sheila yet?
Yeah, I'm here, Ted.
Hey, Sheila. I'm so glad you're here. This is so important to me that
I
had you on today.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I'm just glad you're here. I've been talking to all my listeners are friends anyhow. We talk to these. We pray for my listeners every single day, and for your listeners, by the way, and pray for you on a regular basis. So, you know, they're all To me, when we have a show with on this network with you guys, especially with you, Sheila, it's like you and I and Sharon are sitting here at the house, and we've got a fire in the backyard or whatever, and we're having a fireside chat, and everybody else seems to be listening along with us. And so that's the kind of that's the kind of informal way I want to do interviews, because I want people to know that we really care about them, and we're here to give them the unbiased news. And you and Dave Hodges and the Hagmans, you know, are three of the best people that I know of to be able to allow us to do this. But right now, I want to ask you a question, since this is the big old Halloween thing. Right now, Sheila, and you're an expert in the field, churches are actually, these New Age churches are actually celebrating Halloween right now with zombies, dancing skeletons, haunted hayrides, and spooktaculars. Conservative Christian-identifying churches nationwide are hosting Halloween-themed events, Satan holidays, throughout the month of October. Some feature are including Halloween-centered sermons and performances. I don't know how you'd have a Halloween-centered sermon. Haunted hayrides and or costume contests with children and adults dressing up like demons, like the devil, skeleton, ghost, witches, and other images of death or evil. Chet Gallagher, a Christian activist and missions pastor who formerly served as a Nevada police officer, recently posted a short video of Trunk or Treat evening being held at a Journey Church in Lebanon, Texas, Tennessee. He said in the recording that he decided to stop and video record the happenings outside the church to expose how absolutely horrific and wicked it can be for these Trunk or Treat events. What do you think about this, Sheila, and where in the world does Halloween have its roots? How much paganism is involved in this, and should we as Christians have anything to do with Halloween, or should we slip a giant cross and say, get ye behind me, Satan? What do you think?
Absolutely. Well, Anton LaVey actually was the one that said, he was the leader of the Church of Satan. He said, well, I'm really glad that Christian parents let their kids at least worship the devil one night of the year. You look at Beltane and you look at some of the cult of Baal has never disappeared. The Moloch, you know, the worship of Baal took many names. Enlil, Moloch, Chemosh. It spread across civilizations, being a sun god and a god of fertility. Rituals celebrating Baal took place often during the vernal equinox, the equinoxes, and it always involved human sacrifice, Ted. And so what do we see here? I mean, this is absolutely stunning that Christian parents, I mean, do they know about the Beltane and the Samhain Baal fires? I mean, we see it in Burning Man in the United States. It's ridiculous. The night of Samhain, the most ancient way of observing the fire festivals was Samhain. It looks like it's spelled Samhain, but November 1st was one of the great fire festivals, which marked the turning point for the Druids, the high priests. And this is so demonic, Ted. Christians have no business celebrating Halloween. In fact, I'm going to say something shocking on your show. Parents, if you allow your children tonight to go out for Halloween, you will absolutely be plagued by demonic, because you are opening a door for a complete door for Satan to absolutely torment you and your family. Is that what Christian parents want, Ted?
No, I don't think so, Sheila, but, you know, it goes right back. What happens is we did a show several months ago. In fact, I played a rerun of it about 2 weeks ago, talking about what happened in Cana, the ancient Canaanite gods, you know, when Cain, grandson of Noah, went into Cain, they started these fertility rituals with Moloch and with Baal and with Asherah, you know, these fertility goddesses. And all this was all fertility goddess rituals in which they sacrificed children, they cooked their children, they ate their children, and hence the gingerbread. They did all of these crazy things, you know, for worshiping of Lucifer. And the sad part about it is, Sheila, parents don't realize that with the wicker men and all that, they used to put the children in these giant wicker baskets and burn them while they were still alive. People don't realize how demonic and how heathen the Wicker Man ceremony is. Of course, they have their giant orgy tents there at the Wicker Man. They don't realize that when they practice Halloween, you're absolutely right. They're opening their house up to a plethora of spirits. Now, as a Christian, you can command these spirits to go out and get out, and you can cleanse your house. But the reality is this. Why would you want to bring them into your house to start with? Why would you want to have to cleanse your house of these types of spirits? Why would you be willing to allow your children to be compromised and think this is okay? Let me give you another example. You know, Halloween is something that we never practiced with my kids. Never did. Forget it. Never did it. Now, also, another thing we don't practice is Santa Claus. We don't practice Santa Claus because Santa Claus is not who you think he is. I never told my children there was a Santa Claus. Now you guys are going off, Ted Brewer's being a bah humbug. No, I'm not. I talked to them about Jesus being born in the manger, and that Jesus basically sent by God Almighty to basically redeem us and basically be our Savior, and that that's why we celebrate Christian. Easter Bunny, again, same thing with Easter. The Easter Bunny is another fertility goddess pagan ritual symbol, symbology is all it is. And we have to avoid all this stuff. We're going to be practicing. And this is from the secularism. The secularism has come in and taking Christmas, a holiday that we have to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and turned it into Santa Claus. It's taken the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for Easter, and it's turned into another pagan ritual, you know, satanic holiday as far as fertility goddess. And it's taken this Halloween, which the Druids went out, as you said earlier, and this is when they sacrificed many of the children, and many of the people were sacrificed in bonfires, also known as bone fires, wicker man ceremonies. All of this stuff happened on an ongoing basis with Halloween. Normally I'll have I'll play a tape from Doc Marquis. About this, and he goes into detail with this in our archives from a year ago, if you guys want to go into detail and listen to that. But because we had an audio tape, basically we had to run tape on Monday because of a glitch with Globalstar, I decided I wasn't going to do that to you guys twice this week and make you listen to tape. I don't like doing that. I like doing our shows live every day. But Sheila, what else do you want to add to this, and we'll start on some national news together?
Well, I mean, look at, we're on the countdown to the midterm madness. I mean, there's so much going on. Before we just jump into that, I wanted to know if, I don't know if your listeners saw this, but we were just talking about Halloween, and we were talking about how it's just, you know, really an old ancient fertility ceremony to Baal. It's brought up under the guise, you know, all these little churches have these harvest parties. I'm going to tell you something else about it. UNICEF is something that all the schools hand out those boxes. Did you see, Ted, this? There's a news headline. The Vigilant Citizen did an awesome story. It's called Inside UNICEF's Bizarre 2018 Masquerade Ball. And if you look at the creepy symbolism surrounding UNICEF's yearly Halloween themed masquerade ball, this is something else. Like, all these celebrities are flocking, and it's like a big sex magic orgy. You know, you saw what happened with Stanley Kubrick when he did Eyes Wide Shut with Tom and Nicole Kidman. I mean, basically, it's just unbelievable. The UNICEF ball, these guys are dressed up as Baphomet, Louboutin heels, Versace, satanic masks. I mean, these people, I wonder if our listeners really understand how absolutely satanic the Hollywood crew is. I mean, this is a cesspool of demons, Ted. And, you know, this Me Too movement, I mean, get serious, right? And all we see here is all these demonic Democrats coming out of the woodwork. They hate Trump. They're Trump haters. They're godless. And every one of them will not stop. I mean, what's this actor that just came out this morning that said there will be blood in the streets if the Democrats don't win? Did you read this? Did you see this?
Yeah, I did. I saw it. But, you know, but you're right, Sheila. The problem that people don't know, and we try to educate them on this, is that the same group of people that were responsible for the Russian Revolution and the Treaty of Versailles and all the rest of it are the same groups of people that basically control and run Hollywood with their atavistic hatred of Christianity, which atavistic means a lifelong, deep-seated, generational, thousands of years history of hatred towards Jesus Christ and the Christians. And they run the planet. They run the planet through their fiat money system, through their Babylonian money magic. And because of that, they control a lot of these very large nonprofit organizations. I'm not sure who's in charge of UNICEF. I'm not making that claim. But what I will say is this. It sure seems strange to me that UNICEF obviously is not a Christian organization if they're doing things like this. And it really shocks me to no end how Hollywood continually portrays, with all the movies that are coming out right now, the occult, demonic activity, demonic possession, all of this stuff. Is just crazy what they do. And everybody now in America thinks it's okay, because obviously if Hollywood's doing it and the government says it's okay, it has to be all right. And it's not okay, because we as Christians, the Word tells us, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. And we have to understand that, you know, there's a whole bunch of unclean things. I will say this. When it was specifically saying this in the book of Corinthians, it was talking specifically about clean and unclean meats back in Leviticus chapter 11. But that still applies to us today on all these other things that are involved. Look at immunizations, where they use human fetal tissue cells and all of these animal things and all the stuff they inject into children and people, and that will cause a giant inflammation at the injection site. All of these things God's warning us about. I had a good friend of mine, Randy. he contacted me today, and he's trying to avoid, his girlfriend's trying to avoid a flu shot, and they're saying, and she says she wants to have a religious exemption for the flu shot, and he basically wanted to know if there were any Bible passages about the flu shot, and I sent him a whole bunch of links, and if you're on my private list, you've already gotten this, about what you could tell your boss. And I told Randy, I said, just go ahead and Xerox this, and here's what the Bible says about poisoning yourself and putting things in your body like this and why you shouldn't be doing it. And see, people need to understand, Sheila, that, you know, if we're going to do what God tells us to do, we have to be disciples, which is a root word of discipline. And we've got to learn to say no to certain things, like Halloween, like the pagan holidays, like they've turned Santa Claus into, or the Easter Bunny into, and realize that we have to do everything we can to bring honor and glory to God, including telling them, hey, look, Halloween's not cool. It's not okay. We're not going to celebrate the Halloween, the holy high dead night of the satanic cults. Why would we be involved in anything like this? And yes, the Democrats are doing the same thing right now, because it's the same group of people that started the Communist Revolution, and they're doing everything they can to subvert the moral fiber. And when they say there's going to be blood in the streets if Trump and the Republicans win, they mean that very sincerely, because they know if they don't win this midterm, that a lot of stuff is going to be basically done by Trump. They can't outvote him in the Supreme Court anymore because of Kavanaugh, we hope. And so there are a lot of things that are going to come up, including this, you know, birth thing with the birth of citizenship here in the United States and the chain migration. Trump said he's signing an executive order on that, and with a group of people right now on the Supreme Court, he may be able to stop the chain migration and stop the incentive of these South Americans and Central Americans and Africans and everybody else to walk, you know, all this time or get on luxury Soros buses, come across the United States and drop a baby on the border and say, oh, by the way, I've got amnesty here now. I mean, it's kind of this stupid stuff. But yes, the Democrats, and you know, here's the thing that's so funny. I'm not a Republican. I'm more of a libertarian, Sheila. I'm more of an independent. But the Democrats need to realize that their own party has walked away and left them, and they've gone absolutely Looney Tunes. The Democrats in California, that used to be the state that said, hey, you know, we want to have whole foods, and we want to have organic foods, and we don't want to have immunizations anymore, and we want people to have freedom. And now they're as bad, if not worse, than the Republicans as far as giving us freedom of speech. I mean, the ACLU, I don't like that organization, but it used to actually stand for freedom of speech and freedom to support anybody's speech patterns, but they don't do that anymore. It's all about controlling us, controlling our thoughts, and censoring us via the internet. Sheila, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, censorship is up. I mean, the Stasi censorship is ubiquitous. I can't even post a tweet. It's Twitter-dee and Twiddle-dum over there. They just keep blocking, you know, my tweets. I mean, we can't get anything on fascist book or fake book, as Steve Quayle calls it. I mean, look at all the data mining these outfits are doing under the guise of, oh, we're just posting. So, I mean, come on, Ted. This is the biggest data mining operation ever. And, I mean, people forget this one thing, too, Ted, that, you know, conservative voices are being silenced amongst this vapid sea of demoncrats, as I call them, because the liberals are, do you notice this, though, Ted, the liberals, they're really pulling out all the stops. I mean, I said back on a show back in July of this year, you watch up to the midterms. There is going to be so many false flags, the Saul Alinsky. I mean, these are sheep's knees genuflecting at the Saul Alinsky altar here, Ted, because these people are Saul Alinskyites. They're pulling out all the stops. I urge your listeners to go get a copy of that Rules for Radicals. This is what we're seeing. I mean, the insanity, the caravans. Then we see all these pipe bombs. I mean, Ted, I got some oceanfront property to sell some of your listeners if they're buying that pipe bomb narrative. I mean, that whole thing is just a joke, isn't it?
Well, the pipe bomb narrative is they were doing right down the street from there, they were doing, you know, DHS was there, Department of Homeland Security, doing drills. So this whole thing is just, again, it reeks to high heaven. And the problem is, Sheila, is this. And I said this yesterday. I'm not saying that, like, even in the synagogue, I'm not saying that people didn't get shot. And if they did, my deepest condolence to them and their family. What I'm saying is this. I'm not believing any body counts unless I was there because of the constant lies. The same thing with the pipe bombs. We've talked about that all week now. The pipe bombs weren't even real. No pipe bombs went off. The pipe bombs probably didn't even have any explosives in them. They were just made to look like pipe bombs. There was no cancellation of the stamps. There was no anything. There wasn't enough stamps on them to mail them. The whole thing's a joke. And the sad part about it is that the vast majority of the population, primarily the Democrats, want to believe that, and it's to galvanize that left wing, especially the Jewish vote with the synagogue, to really start supporting the left wing causes and supporting the candidates, because now they're afraid there's going to be another Holocaust in the United States, and that people are going to be taken off to ovens and crematoriums and gassed, and it's nonsense. The whole thing is a narrative being done by, you're right, Saul Alinsky. Now tell everybody who Saul Alinsky was with his Rules for Radicals, and also tell them about Cloward and Piven, Sheila.
Yeah, well, it's really, well, first of all, Saul Alinsky was an American writer. He was actually a community agitator like Obama, really. And he's kind of considered to be the founder of modern community organizer. Well, who else do we know that's a community organizer out of Chicago? Well, he wrote his Rules for Radicals. He was actually born really, like, way, but I think at the turn of the century. Guess where he was, too? He was from Chicago, and he died around the time I was born. But the point is that this guy, his Rules for Radicals is absolutely stunning. It's a real expose, and he says in there, power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Never go outside the expertise of your people. You know, so here's a book that was written in 1971, and I mean, it's tried and true rules for social change. I don't think so. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, Hillary Clinton actually did her thesis on Saul Alinsky. Isn't that stunning, Ted?
Well, yeah, we already know what she is. She's a Sabbatean witch. The crazy thing about all of this stuff is, you know, Cloward and Piven were also Saul Alinsky, the devotees, and they said that if you overwhelm the social welfare system with programs like, you know, hundreds of millions of people coming into the United States to the southern borders and making all the rest of us pay for them, that you're basically going to destroy the republics they can issue in socialism and communism. The irony of all of this stuff to me is this. We already know that socialism doesn't work. Look at Venezuela. Venezuela is a complete and total disaster. Look at the Soviet Union before it fell. It did the war in Afghanistan, completely destroyed the Soviet Union because they didn't have the cash to support the troops in Afghanistan for a 10-year war. And so anytime you put a socialist system together, it doesn't work. So this is a smokescreen. They don't want a socialist system for the United States. They want a new world order. They want to destroy Europe with the immigration. They want to destroy the United States with the immigration to bring in a new world dictatorship through Lucifer. And this is what their goal is, Sheila. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. You just said a very key point. And when you mentioned Cloward and Piven, I mean, these strategies, whether it's Rules for Radicals or the Cloward and Piven strategy, which, by the way, was developed by Richard Clower and Francis Fox Piven. That's a husband and wife team of, I mean, they were complete Marxists. They loved Karl Marx. They were
Columbia.
Complete
yeah.
Socialist, absolutely socialist. And they wanted they favored a centralized, federally run system guaranteeing, it's basically socialism on steroids is what they wanted. So they said that this was in books that they wrote years ago. They wanted to make a deliberate attempt to incite, now pay attention to this, racial, ethnic, and class tension, setting whites against racial minorities and middle class liberals. What are we seeing now with all this stuff with Antifa? I mean, Ted, you were out in the streets with Antifa. Look at the blueprint the globalists are making for massive disruptions across this. This is classic power, Cloud and Piven. It's classic Rules for Radicals. You yourself went out and asked those folks with the pipe, I mean, lead pipes, and they're, you know, screaming about fascism. And you asked them, Ted, I mean, it's so interesting. You asked them, what are you guys fighting about? What were they fighting about? They didn't have a clue. They just said, oh, Trump's a Nazi pig fascist. They don't even know what they're fighting for, Ted.
Well, they don't. In fact, they told me they wanted to open immigration. And I said, well, who's supposed to pay for the open immigration? And they said, the rich. And I said, well, what happens when the rich are all broke? And they go, well, that won't happen. I said, well, yeah, well. I said, well, no one has an unlimited amount of money unless you're printing it and you're called the central bank. And, you know, you basically are going to run out of cash. I mean, we have a governor who in the governor race here in Florida with a guy by the name of Gillum right now. He wants to implement like a 10-15% state income tax on top of the federal income tax and wants to destroy Florida and turn it into a complete and total socialist dictatorship through Tallahassee, where he's the mayor of, and he's got one of the most corrupt cities in the country right now that he's mayor of. I mean, it's awful what he's done in Tallahassee, and they are pushing and pushing and pushing him. Of course, he was raised at one of the same schools, one of the same colleges out there in California that teaches these radicals how to do all of this stuff. And the sad part about it is, I'm not saying that Gillum doesn't have any good points at all as far as what he says, because he may. I haven't heard him say anything positive, but he may have something positive. But the reality is, he's doing it all for wrong reasons. He's doing it for the covert reasons of taking and manipulating and turning Florida into a communist dictatorship again to cause it to fail. And the thing that really bothers me, Sheila, is that, you know, I work sometimes 50, 60 hours a week on just doing the show and the other things that I do with the office. I mean, I work all the time. I'm always reading, researching, and everything else. And when I started Health Masters back in 1981, I was working 80 to 100 hours a week. And you know, and nobody made me do that. It was my company. And the problem is that when people don't want to work and they want free stuff, and they want your free stuff, because your stuff's not free, but they want to be free to them. They want you to pay for it and give them your stuff. It always creates a problem down the road, because sooner or later, everybody runs out of free stuff. And like I mentioned before on the show, somebody's got to maintain the free stuff. I mean, if you have a fancy house that you're living in, it costs money to maintain it. You got to deal with the roofing. You got to deal with the painting. You got to deal with the carpet cleaning. You got to deal with the maintenance and the air conditioners and everything else. And these guys don't see any of that because they just want free stuff. And they couldn't understand when I was in Washington, D.C., Sheila, that sooner or later free stuff has to stop. They thought that they could get as much free stuff as they wanted, bring in 150, 200 million people. I mean, empty all of Central and South America into the United States, and they thought it would be okay. And they really said that to me. They really, really thought it would be okay because they're so stupid because of their being dumbed down because of the educational systems. Right now, they're finally Bill Gates announced the other day, I don't know if you saw it or not, Sheila, Bill Gates finally announced that his big pet project, Common Core, does not work as far as education. What do you think about Bill Gates and Common Core and all the stuff that he's been standing for?
Well, Bill, first of all, I just want to touch on that statement you just made about socialism. Remember what Margaret Thatcher once said, that the trouble with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money. Remember that? Oh, Bill Gates, yeah. Listen, that is one New World Order minion. He has absolutely got a penchant for vaccinating everyone. I mean, he's a depopulationist. I used to joke and say, with Bill Gates and Ted Turner, it's Bill and Ted's excellent depopulation adventure. I mean, they absolutely are a pair of devils. What does Ted Turner always run around saying? Listen, we got too many people using too much stuff. We got to get rid of about 6 billion people. Well, my question is, if they want a carrying capacity of 1 billion people, what happens to all the other 6 billion people, Ted?
Well, there's only one choice. They want us dead. I mean, that's just is what it is. I mean, you know, and the thing about it is, it's like that French president now, Emmanuel Macron, who said he wanted to rule France like he was a Greek god sitting on the throne, put into power by the Rothschild banking cartel. You know, I mean, one of his favorite quotes to me was this, when he said this last summer, and he said basically that he declared there's no such thing as a true Danish person or a true Frenchman. And because he doesn't want this, because Macron began last February by talking grandly about his intention to create an Islam of France, a caliphate of France. He wants this entire country to be Islamic. He promised he would roll out his plans after Ramadan ended in mid-June and early July in the pages of Le Monde magazine. The plan drawn up by Macron's collaborator, Hakim Karoui, was published. It provides for the creation of an association managed by French Muslims that will train and pay the imams in France. No longer would they be trained abroad or paid by foreign Muslim groups or states. It would pay for the building and the maintenance of mosques through the federal French government, thus replacing foreign governments, and manage communication between organized Islam and the state, and create a caliphate in which France would be under Sharia law. This is what he wants. So why would he do that, Sheila?
Well, this is with all these globalists. Look at Merkel in Germany. I mean, it is absolutely rape-ageddon out there. Europe is becoming an absolute. Is that what we want on American soil? Really? We want to become like Europe, overrun with Muslims? And just FYI, Ted, there is no radical Muslims. Muslims want to wage jihad on non-believers, which they call infidels. It's plain and simple. They're not a religion of peace. Yeah, maybe a piece of a dead body here, a piece of a dead body there. They got the wrong piece. And I want to give a shout out to our mutual friend, Gene Shoker, is listening right now. So big shout out to Gene. He just texted us, said great show. Listen, there's a lot going on up to the midterms. What are we, 7 days away from all hell really breaking loose, this red tsunami that the media does not want to talk about. What is also going on with Robert Mueller today? Is apparently they're having a press conference in a couple hours on all these women coming out of the woodwork. I mean, this is Kavanaugh 2.0, isn't it?
Well, with Mueller, I mean, they're just trying to discredit him now because of what he's done to Trump. This is just dirty politics. I doubt Mueller's done any of this, but he may have done it. Who knows? They're all a bunch of liars in D.C., and everything is about just dirty, dirty, dirty politics all the time. And the Democrats have said if they take over the House, et cetera, they're going to take over the whole doggone Trump investigation because they want impeachment. You think they'll be able to get Trump impeached at least through the House if they win these votes on Tuesday, Sheila?
Oh, well, listen, I already made a prediction. I'm not backing down on it. There is going to be a red tsunami, and I think then Donald Trump is going to bring the hammer down on these devils. The justice is coming. I'm going to make that statement on your show. And listen, I'm not going to eat crow 5 months from now because this is coming. I mean, Trump is chess plays ahead of these guys. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not some kind of living on unicorn and peaches and cream street, but I'm going to tell you something. People have got, and this is really important for believers, Ted, you know, the Bible tells us that there is a way. There is a way to deal with this onslaught of hell. And I think that's really important. And you know what I'm all about, Ted? I'm all about equipping the body of Christ, the believers. I mean, I don't even call them Christians anymore because, I mean, look what's going on in the churches. You have, I don't know if you saw this statement, but a witch came out and said, listen, I'm a Christian pastor, and you can be a Christian and a witch. I don't know if your listeners saw that, but there's so much incestuous New Age cesspool going on in the church. It's hard to distinguish the church from the world, and that is my firm belief, and that's why I wrote Power Prayers, Warfare That Works, Ted, because it's not just, oh, I'll just leave prayer for the prayer warriors. No. It's not about that. People think that prayer warriors is a distinctive group. No, we are all supposed to be prayer warriors. James 15 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does effectual fervent prayer mean? It means somebody that is just not going to give up. They're going to do powerful warfare daily. Why do I have to do it daily, Sheila? Well, Jesus said, give us our daily bread. We're not even promised tomorrow, Ted. But prayer is when, now this is what people get wrong all the time, and if they remember anything I said on this show, prayer is when you are addressing God, and that's good. We have to be in prayer. Warfare is different. Warfare is when you're addressing the enemy. So I'm going to say that again. Prayer is when you're addressing God. Warfare is when you're addressing the enemy. But guess what? No one's doing that. Why? Because the church is not being taught how to do that. All this stuff, this onslaught of hell, and by the way, it took an onslaught of hell, Ted, for me to understand the enemy was bashing my teeth in and at my front door, and I wanted to learn how to storm the enemy's camp because I sat in church all my life, and they would sing little cutesy songs like, oh, we went and stormed the enemy's camp and took back, and I'm like, wait a minute. I stopped singing one day, and I said, who is even doing this, Lord? And in my spirit, I remember God distinctively saying, that's exactly right. And I remember I was having a fit one day, and I'm like, why aren't you doing something, God? I'm waiting on you, God. No, God's waiting on us, Ted. And this was the first part of my learning. That was really the first part of my training in spiritual warfare and how to get equipped, because I was having a fit in my life. Nothing was working. I was throwing a temper tantrum in a ditch, kicking my car door and with my fists out, saying, why aren't you doing something? And God said, why aren't you? And I had to quit my temper tantrum to listen to what he said. And I said, what do you mean? He said, did I give you the rod of authority? And he took me to Exodus 14 in the scripture where Jesus says, greater things you will do because he goes to the Father. Jesus Christ said it himself. God interrupted me that day when I was screaming out, when I was asking him, why aren't you doing something? He said, like God said this to me, did I say I would move your mountain? I said, well, I'm pretty sure the scripture says if I have faith as a mustard seed, I shall say to the mountain. This is what we're missing, Ted. We are not getting our prayers answered. Why? Because we're asking him, God, to do something that he's already given us the power and authority to do. you guys are waiting on God. Guess what? He's waiting on you. And that's where spiritual warfare comes in, Ted.
Sheila, how can people get copies of your book, and how can they support you, and how can they, what's your website and all the other stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, that's not a plug for the book either. This book is powerful. It is a scripture-based warfare prayers that is a game changer. And again, I have these prayers. I mean, if I was going to write a book and make money, I'd write every day is a Friday or every day is a Saturday. Or,
every day is a Friday.
We won't get started about Joel Osteen. But yeah, they can just simply go to Sheila.media, www.sheila.media. You can click on the books tab, click on Power Prayers. Listen, Christians, if you don't have this book, get it. Another book that I wrote that's really important that no one is talking about with carbon taxes and cap and trade. They're trying to, you know, of course, this Paris Climate Accord. Nobody really understands what this green agenda is all about. And I lay this out so good in my book because I was 11 years as a top environmental person over at your equivalent of the EPA. And I went to all these climate conferences and I screamed and railed on this green agenda back in 2005 when I broke the story that it was a hoax. And, you know, I got sued over my book and a lot of stuff happened over that. But the United Nations is the most devilish, oh, it is the most devilish outfit ever. And we've got to shut that cesspool down is what we've got to do. And they're really involved in pushing this whole Paris climate thing. I mean, look at Ted, when Trump was being interviewed on 60 Minutes, mind you, he did steamroll that dummy, that little bobble-headed minion that works for 60 Minutes. But what is the very first thing she talked about? Climate change. Yeah, climate changes ever since God invented it. I mean, God created the earth and the fullness thereof. God created this earth and he gave us, guess what, dominion over it. The oil is for our benefit. The plants are for our benefit. The CO2 that they, the EPA said it is a deadly pollutant, what you and I breathe out, Ted, we exhale a deadly pollutant. They had CO2 classified as a deadly pollutant back in 1999. And I'm going to tell you something right now. We are not breathing out a deadly poison. The Pope will tell you that man is responsible for global warming. And then they called it climate change. Then they called it climate weirdization, climate radicalization. I mean, it is just so ridiculous. Every other day we're getting pummeled with all this sustainability and eco-friendly, because it sounds really nice, doesn't it, Ted? All under the seemingly benevolent guise of saving the planet. Listen, we couldn't save the planet if we wanted to. The planet, God is in charge of that. And so all these hucksters like Al Gore, they just want to bring us back to what you said in the beginning. The Amorites celebrated the earth goddess, and that's what they want to, that's what this is,
that's
really
right,
all about. It's Baal reincarnated, really, isn't it, Ted?
Well, also, too, down, and what's so funny to me, Sheila, and this just blows my mind with these guys, they want to tell us that human beings are the great polluters because we breathe out CO2, but yet they spray us with chemtrails loaded with barium, aluminum, and strontium, and microdust, you know, and basically Morgellons and piezoelectric crystals that they put us and force us to inhale, which is the biggest pollutant on the planet. Plus, China is the biggest global polluter out there. I have been to China. We took a cruise over there one time. We actually went into Hong Kong, picked up the cruise ship, went all over Shanghai, went to Beijing, went to Japan, had a great time with Sharon 20 years ago. And it was the most polluted place on Earth. And remember, the Earth turned towards China, so that pollution comes to us, and they pick it up all the way on the Western seaboard all of the time. And you literally had people walking around in China wearing gas masks, wet handkerchiefs and washcloths, and we were told by the purser on the boat that if we were going to leave the confines of the clean air in the boat, that we need to be taking a wet washcloth with us on shore to breathe through while we were there. That's how polluted China is. And so the crazy thing is, to punish the United States, and we have some of the cleanest on the planet, I've been all over the planet, because China doesn't want to comply with any type of environmental regulations. It's nonsense. China still won't even use wet scrubbers on their coal smokestacks. And what does that mean? Back in the 50s and the 60s, we discovered a technology in which we ran water through scrubbers where the coal plants were releasing basically sulfur dioxide and basically charcoal and dust into the air. And what happens is the wet scrubbers catch smoke as they go through the scrubbers, and they're precipitated back into liquid, and they're able to not go into the atmosphere. So it helps to really cut down on environmental pollution. China won't even use wet scrubbers. They just dump and belch all the stuff right out into the doggone atmosphere. That's why their place is so polluted. That's why they had to turn off their coal processing electric plants for several weeks before the Olympics were held over there, just to clean the air. So you're absolutely right. When they tell us that human beings are the cause, it's all about Gaia worship. It's all about making God and Earth the same thing and having us basically go back into our fertility rituals like we did back in when the beings were in Canaan, back in Genesis chapter 6, and they want to bring all that back up because those rituals have never died. Those rituals continue today. Remember what that witch of Hillary Clinton said when she was basically at the end of her little thing there with Obama, and she said, it's about time to go up into the attic and dust off the rabbit's foot and take a chicken outside and sacrifice it to Moloch. Who in the world talks like that? That's how these guys talk. Because remember, you mentioned Stanley Kubrick earlier too, Sheila. You get me all motivated here. When Stanley Kubrick, Eyes Wide Shut, he gave us an insider's look as to what Hollywood did, their satanic occults, their orgies, all the things they did. Now, what he did, there was an additional 15 minutes in that movie, which he fully exposed the Baal worship, the satanic worship, and the human sacrifice. And they told him that you cannot leave that in there. But because of the blackmail that he was able to do, because of all the other things he had done, like the movie Clockwork Orange and 2001 A Space Odyssey, and you guys can read into that what you'd like, and all the things he was involved with the federal, he'd been given carte blanche to do pretty much what he wanted to do. And that's why he kept putting all these little clues in all of his movies of what was really happening globally. And they told him he could not do it. Suddenly he drops dead before the movie is released. The 15 minutes of that movie is taken out. It's taken from the film. And we never saw the full Eyes Wide Shut. Now, I'm not recommending Eyes Wide Shut unless you watch it edited on TV. It is a filthy, filthy, filthy mess because it shows what these pagans really do in their spare time and how they really live. And the fertility rituals, the orgies, and all of the other things that they're involved in. That's why Paul said to us in the New Testament, hey, guys, stop going to these orgies, because this stuff was prevalent in Rome as it is today. And that's why the other day with Roger Stone, Roger Stone now is basically being looked at for his involvement in what's happened in Washington. And I've told people years ago, Roger Stone is a known wife swapper. And I'm just telling you the truth. If you want to see who Roger Stone is, just Google Roger Stone gay parade photos and get a look at it and see if you really want to listen to anything this man says. And see, this is what we have to do. I started the show with this. Come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. Guys, there's enough people who believe like we believe, like you and I believe, especially you, my friends that are listening right now, that we don't have to associate with the riffraff society. We don't have to associate with the people who like to sell their wives into sex slavery rings or whatever they want to do with their wives or trade them with other men. We don't have to people like that. There are enough born-again, hardcore believers like Sheila and me and the Hagmans and all my friends that I hang out with that we're not willing to associate with those people. Guys, don't allow yourself to be caught up into this stuff. Don't be going to the movies right now celebrating Halloween and demonic possession and in the day of the devil. Don't allow yourself to be involved in any of this stuff, because, guys, this is not God's best for you, Sheila. What do you think, Sheila?
You know, we have to come out of it. Come out of her, my people, and take not of her plagues, is what God went on to say there. This society we live in is a cesspool. It's a bloodthirsty, blood ritual, blood sacrifice society. I mean, look at Hillary Clinton just said the other day, oh, suffer the little children. I mean, that woman has the audacity to make a statement like that after we know the kind of deep level occultism that she is into. You look at Marina Abramovich, the spirit cooking crew, all these absolute cannibals, these blood sacrificing cannibals, and that's really the connection in all of this. And that's why that's why these globalists were panicking with Brett Kavanaugh, because, you know, their food source Baal is really at stake here right now, and they're panicking. Look at the baby butchers that sell baby body parts to the highest bidder, Planned Parenthood. What a bunch of devils. And, I mean, they have butchered 65 million babies. Ted, that is a third of the size of the United States of America. That says it all right there, doesn't it?
Well, you know, when you take a fifth of the population of the United States and you basically wipe them out over a period of 50 years, they're you're right, they're panicking. Because remember that Baal worship, the release of the energy from those fetuses into the next dimension, as above is so below, it feeds these interdimensional demons, and that's what it does. And so they're looking at the United States as a giant buffet of unborn children who are dying. And it's sad, Sheila, that Christians don't talk about this in the church. Right. A lot of the feel-good churches don't want to talk about any of this stuff. Why? Because it drives people away. Because people don't want to hear about this on Sunday morning. They want to hear about happy, 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 happy. And guys, let me tell you something. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And today is the day the Lord hath made, because I will rejoice in it. But the reality is we have to be aware of what's going on so we can pray for the things that we want to happen. That's the whole key. And always remember, always pray in the affirmative what you want to have happen, not what you don't want to have happen. That's really important. One more final comment. The United Nations saying, Sheila, that Trump must allow the caravan migrants into America, that he has no choice. He has to allow all of them to come in and become citizens. What do you think about the UN saying that, Sheila?
Well, I just said what I think about the UN. They're from the pit of hell. And we need to get rid of them as people. There's power in numbers, Ted, and it is time that we start shutting down some of these organizations. And you know what? Trump's pretty tight with the military, so we'll see about that. We've already got troops being sent to the southern border.
There's several things that I would do if I became president of the United States, which I'm so politically incorrect that will never happen. Of course, we thought that the same way with Trump, but he's there. But it's this. Number one, I would basically take the UN system, the whole UN building over there in New York City. I would empty it out, make sure nobody was in it, and I would rig it for demolitions, and I would have a big party, and I would blow that thing to kingdom come. And I'd tell them that we're taking our funding away from them, they go put it somewhere else, that we're done with their Rothschild, United Nations, basically afterthought is what this thing is, organization for this one world government, one world dictatorship. Second thing I would do, this, that people would not really understand this if they don't listen to the show, is I would take the Lincoln Memorial and I would do the same thing with it, because of what he did to the southern states and how basically he destroyed the South and he had no reason to do it, and he sent his demonic servant Sherman into the South to rape, pillage, and destroy his own countrymen. So I would get rid of the Lincoln Memorial, number two. Sheila, thank you so much. Guys, support Sheila's ministry. We've got our music playing. I appreciate you being on with us. Wow, guys, you got yourself a power-packed show today. So different than our normal shows. Thank you so much, Sheila, again. Guys, I love you. Thanks for supporting healthmasters.com. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for supporting Sheila's ministry. Thanks for being here. Thanks for praying for me today. I love you guys. I appreciate you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.